Well, what you heard just now was a speech made by Netanyahu in the United Nations. A two-minute speech which sort of silenced quite a number of people, the delegates who were there. And it indeed is a speech that strikes deep into our hearts. That on one hand, there will be one group clamoring for something, and on the other hand, there is another group not realizing that what they're clamoring for is their inconsistency, for they themselves are guilty of what they are clamoring for. And so we find that today in this world, acceptance of one another is a very, very difficult part. And I'm very happy to notice that Sungai Nimbong Gospel Hall is taking this look into the outside world as well as the inside to see what is going on and what should be going on. Basically, it has to do with relationships, how we are related to one another. Our acceptance of another, of one another, is indicative of our relationship to one another. The recent topics that Sungai Nimbong has been discussing over the last 1-2 months have been on ecumenical movement by our brother Tan, then also on Christian as a citizen by our brother Lee Kai. And next week, I don't envy our brother Mr. Pek Ming as he deals with LGBT, not next week, the week after, when he deals with LGBT. I wish I could be present, but unfortunately, because of my appointments, I could not be. Perhaps he would record it and I would listen to it. All right. Therefore, this week, what I'm trying to do is to lay down the foundation and the basics of the stand your assembly will be taking in the weeks to come and also in the past weeks. Well, next week I shall be dealing with my relationship to those without. This week I shall be dealing with my relationship with those within. And that will cover the study by our brother Kim Siong from Burma Gospel Hall on filial piety. But what I'm trying to do now is just to lay down the foundation, the principles of our relationships with one another and with the world. So, I will not be dealing with, in particular, filial piety, LGBT, and so on. But I believe that local church unity is important before we can respond to the challenges of the world around us and the problems that face us and the issues that come about. Right. So, today I shall be dealing with my relation with them that are within. Now, this is taken from the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12, where we read, "Do not you judge them that are within." Now, sometimes toleration, acceptance can be a problem. That we tolerate, we do not judge, we do not complain, and we allow things that are wrong to go on and on and on, because we do not want to judge. We want to accept. Is this the right thing to do? This is what we need to attend to God's word to see. Then, after that, next week, I hope to deal with my relationship with them that are without. Them that are within, them that are without. Those who are outside our church. How do we accept them? What is our relationship with them? This is again taken from 1 Corinthians 5:13. What have I to do? To judge them also that are without. Do we have the right to judge these people who are without? The next part of the verse says, them that are without, God judges. Those who are without our environment, God will judge. But those who are within, those who do wrong, we are responsible for judging them. Now, here are the thoughts. First and foremost, when you talk of within and without, there must indeed be a circle. A circle. And therefore, a company. And this circle I refer to as the circle of churches, the church. As we read in Revelation chapters 1 to 3 of the seven churches. And the seven local churches were chosen in such a way that they sort of form a circle. They form a circle. And right in the circle, as we read in Revelation chapter 1, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the center. Now, all these local churches in Revelation 1 to 3 represent local churches, not only in their time. They represent over 100 churches in that area alone, but also in our time. And you will note that these local churches, as at that time, now with our time, many of them are also away from the Lord and need to face judgment too. And that's why, even right from Ephesus, the Lord said, I have something against you. You have lost the first love. And the last church, the church of Laodicea, what happened to the Lord? The Lord was completely outside, so that in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in. He's outside the church. And let us not therefore be surprised that today we find churches where Christ is outside and Christ is no more inside to be the center of the church gathering. And so when we talk of our relationship with churches outside, we need to take this into consideration. Just 1 or 2 weeks ago, you all dealt with the Ecumenical Council, an Ecumenical Church. Well, in the Ecumenical Church, they call themselves church. How should we relate to them? Now, let us remember that just because that company, that group is a church, it does not necessarily mean that Christ is in the center and that church is the base of Christ Center. So, we need to examine our relationship with them on the basis of what we know with regard to their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, we have to start with the individual. And we talk before we talk of the corporate group. Our relationships with sin deal with the issues of acceptance by the church. Now, what about our own church? How do we accept? Do you accept me as a person, as an individual? Do I accept you as an individual? What does it mean to accept? It is to receive my person as I am. Right, as somebody has said, acceptance is not love. You love a person because he or she has lovable traits, but you accept everybody just because they are alive and human. Do I relate to you because you love me for the reason that I'm lovable? I'm a cute little fella, handsome fella. And you see, when a baby comes into our midst, and if that baby is cute, I say, you see how lovely it is to see this baby, to lift up the hair, the baby up and play. But when that baby is not that handsome or cute, that person, that baby is left alone. Now, how do we treat a person? How do we attract a person? When a person comes in, into our midst, how do we accept? What do we look for? Do we accept him as a person, as an individual? He is a human being. He is a person. And if he belongs to Christ, then we accept him as a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. Or do we look beyond that to his background, to his financial background, to his social background, and so on? These are things that we need to look into. Then, what about my persuasion? Today, we find that many individuals that come to our midst have very different persuasions. And that's why our brother, Mr. Theo, has to deal with people like LGBT. And for some who do not know, well, L stands for Lisbon, B stands for G, G stands for gays, and B bisexual, and D transsexuals, and so on. Well, what happens when these people come into our midst? There are people of different persuasions from us. And we know the Lord does not condone activities of this nature. How do we react? So, that's why I'm so keen to see, to hear what our brother has to say. Because I myself had to learn much from our brother. Right. This morning we talk about grace. Grace is something to extend it to somebody who does not deserve it, but in spite of that, still is given. And this is what we must understand. Are we gracious to people who come to our midst who may not fit in with our idea of a nice, respectable person? We must also be able to recognize my potential. If you accept me, then you accept me as a person. Don't try to change me in the sense that I should fit in with what you think I should be. Respect my persuasion for what I am, and respect my potential too, that I can be what you may not think I can be. You know, as I look back into my life, my young life, I'm so different from what I was as a young teenager. I'm so different from what I was as a young adult. So different compared to what I am. Of course, the difference can be seen very clearly when you see the hair at the top. There's no hair and there's a hair. There's some hair I ever had before. So, will you still welcome me if I'm different from you? Will you still welcome me? Alright, so these are questions that we need to ask in our relationships. So before we can relate to the people outside, though them that are without, we need to be able to relate with each other within. Now, let's examine certain Bible principles. Non-acceptance is a possibility accepted in the world. The world today, well, we got non-acceptability. They will not accept you. And just now we watched a video clip. Netanyahu was complaining that people would not accept the Jew. And yet the Jew in his home country would accept all other races. This is not strange. Because non-acceptance, because of social standards, because of intellectual differences, because of sexual discrimination, we find that people do not accept one another. Even religion, we find that today, in our own country, Christianity is not accepted. And that's why there is so much problem and so many issues. Well, it's not a surprise because Christ's person was not accepted in his own community himself. And this is worse than ever. In his own community, in John chapter 1, verse 12, verse 11, we read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And that is very, very sad when his own received him not, or when our own received us not. Can this be true? This is true, of course, in the way without Christ. That's why you find that so many people have been laid aside, have been despised, and NGOs have to start various homes to cater for the people who have been discriminated against. But the question now is, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was rejected by his own community because he failed to come to their expectations. That's the word. Fail to come to their expectations. We do not accept a person because that person does not come up to our expectations. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. The community, his community, wanted him to be the king, to lead them against the Roman emperors and so on, so that they could be free. But he came as a person, a man in Nazareth. What can Nazareth come? What good can Nazareth come out of that place? Nothing. And Jesus was despised. Therefore we read, when Pilate presented to him, this is your king. He said, no, we have no king. Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. He was rejected. Now, The Lord Jesus Christ strangely also said that a prophet is accepted except in his own country and by his own people and in his own house. Sometimes his prophets would be recognized by the world outside, but not by even those in his own country, the Jews themselves, as he was rejected, and in his own house. And we see this in Matthew 13:57, Mark 6:4, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Four Gospels record this. A prophet is not accepted as except in his own country. He's accepted except in his own country. Now, is this true of the church? As I said earlier, what I was as a young man and what I am today, so completely different. I grew up in a church where, although I was a Christian, I was baptized in that church, I was hardly accepted. At that particular generation, at that time, there were two groups of people, the rich and the poor. Or not so rich. The rich would form one group, and the poor would form another group. But the poor, because they were poor, well, they were more interested in Bible study, and they became Bible students, they formed Bible groups to study, and the rich despised them. And therefore, the rich would call the poor, this group of people, holy dudes, holy ones. So, in return, they retaliated and called them beyond redemption. So, I grew up in such a group. I was not accepted. Do you realize that I grew up in a church where I was never a Sunday school teacher in that church? I was never officially even a YP leader. Where did I start my church, my Sunday school experience? When I was appointed by the Chinese Sunday school to teach English Sunday school in a Chinese Sunday school. That's how I started. Not in an English speaking church that I belong to. And as a result, I had that Sunday school experience of my first year, and after that I was still not accepted. I had to go over with some of the holy Joes to Butterworth and to start the work in Butterworth, because the home church rejected us. And we had to go with our own money to go to Butterworth. And as a result, we worked with Mr. Split, and the work in the Sunday school work in Butterworth started. And then we have today the Butterworth Gospel Hall. Now, why am I telling you all this? That there may be people, and today there are quite a number of people in many churches, in many assemblies, who feel rejected. Now, if you feel rejected, you do not go against the church. Do something else. And it's sad, and it's glad in one way, that many of these people who have not been accepted by the church, they have gone out and they have become better as servants of the Lord, as people who serve the Lord. So, is it true in the church? It can be true, because familiarity breeds contempt. It can be true because prejudice is blind to the person's potential. And we find that because of certain prejudice against another person, the person is never allowed even to proceed forward and onward. And unfortunately, as I have had so many experiences with many of their churches and assemblies, I find this to be true. That's why I'm summing all this up in this study. The grass, and for those who feel that they are rejected, perhaps you also are wrong. You don't fit yourself in, and somehow you always bring in the goodness of the other side, and therefore you think that the grass is always greener, and then that's why you join the other side. So these are difficult problems to solve. Difficult, I don't say easy, but they are true. And they are existing. And we see this in many churches today. And that's why churches don't grow. Now, last week, I was looking over through my internet, and I found a little article by a person who was very proud that all the millennials came to his church, and that was a big group, whereas the other groups, well, the millennials left them. And he gave 10 reasons why these millennials left them. By the way, a millennial would be a person born somewhere in 1980 to 2000. In other words, a young adult, 20 to 30 years old. Those of you who are here. The problem in many churches today and assemblies, many of the young adults have left the church. They have left the church, 20 to 30. Now let us look at our own assemblies. Among ourselves, how many can we find in the age group of 20 and 30? Very few. And these are the potential leaders for the future. These are the potential workers, but we miss them. When they are useful, they leave us. Why? Now, here is this pastor who suggested 10 reasons. I'm not saying that these reasons are correct. By far, I do not agree with many of them. But it's good to have a look. One, there's a strong resistance to change. The church they are in refuses to change. They want to just carry on as usual. No change. And that's why the millennials, who are very active and full of initiative, they just cannot stand up, they leave. A compelling vision is lacking or non-existent. You ask these churches, what is your program for the next 5 years, 10 years? There's none. We just go on year by year, we pray by year. So I do not know which is more important, the year or the year. Well, whatever it is, they always say, we pray by year and we go year by year. So they cannot stand, these millennials cannot stand such a status and they leave. Mediocrity is their expectation. When they see things are wrong, do the leaders have the courage to stop, to check, to correct, so that the general crowd will benefit much? Or will we allow one person, one individual, to spoil the whole cake, so to speak, so that that person keeps on coming up again and again, perhaps every Sunday, and then spoiling the whole atmosphere of our gathering? Now, this is something that we need to check. And the millennials cannot stand this kind of mediocrity. And they find that if you are not able to correct this, then what for we live here? Because we have no potential. We have no outlet. Because that person is always occupying that place. There is paternalistic approach to leading millennials. When millennials want to come forward with their ideas to lead, no. We are the older ones. We are the older generation. We know better. You just hold on. And is this the attitude? 5. There is a pervasive insider-focused mentality. These churches are more focused on the inside, on what is going on inside. They hardly are interested in what is going wrong in the community and the issues around. Transparency and authority are not high values. There is the oversight, and that was my complaint when I was a young man in my church. There was an oversight meeting late until midnight. We discussed a lot of things, but not one thing ever leaked out to us. We hardly knew anything. Was there a Gestapo meeting? They would plan all things without the knowledge of the members. Now, I, to be frank, I was not very happy with that, and I complained about that a lot when I was a young man. And perhaps this is something that we must do also, that we must appropriate ourselves to the members so that they know what we are having in mind, and they are with us, and they come along with us all the time. Mentoring is not important. We don't believe in human instruction. In a way, that's true. I never grew up with any mentoring. I do not know why today there is a lot of talk of mentoring. I was never under a Bible teacher. I was never under a missionary. I never went to a seminary. Never went to a Bible school. I never went to all these places. I grew up in the school of the Lord. But perhaps people can take this over the limit and say, all right, don't do anything. Don't teach. Don't lead. Leave it all to the Holy Spirit to lead. And so there is a spirit of mediocrity going on all the time. Never mind. On. Without challenges to further things of you. So, a culture is viewed as the enemy. Now, assemblies usually look at culture. Don't look at what other people are doing. Don't look at the culture around. That is culture. It's rotten culture, it's worldly culture, and it's not good. We must follow tradition. And the millennials are definitely against tradition. But definitely we must realize the distinction between traditionalism and tradition. As one has said, there's a difference between holding on to the dead faith of the living, that is traditionalism, versus holding on to the living faith of the dead, that's tradition. And that's why Hebrews is written, that they are the living faith of the dead, and we need to follow. So we need to follow traditions where the traditionalists have a living faith in the Lord, and not just a mere living people believing in the dead faith of a traditionalism. Community is not valued. We are not interested in the community around us. We are interested only in ourselves. Leave the community alone. And lastly, the church is a source of division and not unity. And if you look at all assemblies today, most of the churches, there is disunity, there is division, and so on. Why should that be so? Alright, the final word on all this, as I said, I do not agree to all of these, but the final word from the Bible is just this. Let no man despise your youth, young millennial, whoever you are, if you are here today, but unfortunately many are not here. Be thou an example to the believers in word and in conduct, in love, in spirit, and in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Reading, exhortation, doctrine. These are three important things that we must have in our church. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the living on, laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. And this is what I believed in when I was a young man. And I grew up with the idea. Doctrine is very important. Learning the word of God is very important. Knowing what the Bible teaches is important. And allow these things to come into our lives. Now, this morning we were meditating upon the mercy of God. I was about to draw your attention to Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable worship, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is what the response should be when we meditate upon the mercies of God, that we are prepared to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. And this was the verse that changed my whole life in my consecration unto the Lord, so that I was what I became, for God to be what God wanted me to be. Non-acceptance is not a principle acceptable with the Lord. When we start to reject people and we start to look down on people, this is not what the Lord teaches. Now, it was my intention to go through the verses in Romans chapter 14, but I don't think I have time. I will just refer to them and then you can go back and check. Romans 14:1 to 10 teaches that the weak in faith have the right to live as unto the Lord. Though they may seem superstitious, they are sincere and should not be shut out. There are people who will keep the Sabbath as a holy day. And there are those who have gone out of it and say that Sabbath is just one of those days. Now, those who are strong in faith should not look down upon those who are weak. Try to understand them. Receive them. Don't put them away. There are those who eat food offered to idols. And there are those who do not eat food offered to idols because they find that it is not right. But both should be acceptable to one another. So, although it may seem that the weaker group may be a bit superstitious, it is right that they should also be received. The strong in faith have the right to love as unto the Lord. Those who are strong, stretch out your hand to love these people, to help these people, to encourage these people, as unto the Lord. In your flesh, perhaps you don't like that person, but because they belong to the Lord, love them. Now, I was challenged just last week. Some of you would know that I'm on Facebook, and on Facebook account, you would now and then face with this issue. So-and-so say, we want to be friends with you. In fact, if you look into my account this morning, you'll find two ladies want to be my friends. But I have not answered them yet. And I don't think I will answer them. Because they look suspicious. One of them has on the profile, I love you. I have got to be careful in case my wife looks into my account. So I have rejected quite a number of these. Somewhere from nowhere they come up, you want to be our friends. And there's a sign. There's one brother from my church. He's not well educated, he's not handsome, he's not socially well placed, but he's a good brother. He takes care of the church. He wants to be my friend. Should I accept him? People are not very good friends with him because of his condition and so on. I said, no, I have got to accept him because he is still a brother in the Lord. And so I did. And actually, in a way, in the past, before he became my friend on Facebook, he was quite a problem to me. Because I do not like the word, he sort of idolized me. Mr. Ang, when are you coming to preach? Quick, give me your notes. I want your notes. Although I doubt if he could understand actually my notes, with my alliterative notes and so on. He would find it difficult to understand those hard words. But he would make sure that he would have a copy of mine. But now I do not give out notes. He's very disappointed. Very disappointed. Well, anyway, this is just to show how important it is with regard to acceptance. The strong in faith must look out for those who are weak. Do not live unto self or stumble others. Romans 14:7. Right. Then there's another one, truth that we must remind ourselves with. And that's from Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither Gentile, I'm neither born nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Let there be no racial differences, Jew or Samaritan or Gentile. Now, if you look at our assemblies, generally on the whole, I'm not referring to Sungai Nibong, all assemblies, we are a middle income group. And there comes a challenge. Because we are in a multiracial society, we are in a society where there are various groups of social standings. How do we welcome these people? What happens when a person of another race, or perhaps even another religion, come into our midst? Do we welcome him? Or do we say, have ye not unequal yoke with unbelievers, so we do not care about unbelievers who happen to come into our lives? What about those who are of another religion? What happens? Do we drive them away? Now, these are issues that we need to think of. Today, especially in our country, when a person particularly of another religion comes into our place, what do we do? Do we drive him away? There are assemblies today that I know of who welcome them. And today, they take the risk. They take the risk. Their leaders take the risk of being a Pastor Raymond Kok and be adopted. So, we need to examine some of these issues that come into our church today. Social distinctions, born or free. What about those who are poor? Today in our assemblies, most of us are middle income groups or higher. What about those of the lower income? The trishaw peddlers, the hawkers, the farmers who come into our midst. In the years past, we have got farmers who were elders because they were great leaders. And right so, also now in China, in the underground churches, many of them were very poor, but they are excellent Bible teachers. I have got a video clip on the Chinese underground church. It's fantastic how today it is estimated that China will have the biggest number of Christians in the world in 20 years' time. Bigger number than even America. Because the underground church is growing like nobody's business. God is blessing the church there. And so, we need to have a look. While the other churches are growing, our church is growing. Sexual discrimination. Today there is a lot of talk. Just last week, there is the International Women's Day, where women are up in arms or on legs against the men because they are discriminated against. Do we discriminate against women? Oh yes, we do. Why? You do not allow women to speak. You do not allow women to take part. You tell women to cover their heads. But they must realize there is a great difference between rights, roles, and responsibilities. All men and women in our assemblies are equal. No female, no male. That's their rights. All are children of God. Their roles, they play different roles. Just as some outside are professional dentists, are professional doctors, and so on. And so here they play different roles. And they play the role where the woman and the wife submits, and the man loves and leads. And these roles must be played out. But remember, all these are played out in the name of Jesus Christ. The woman submits because of Jesus Christ. The man leads and loves because of Jesus Christ. As Christ has loved you, so love your wife. All will have to account for their rights before the living Lord. Romans 14, 10 to 12. One day, all of us have to stand before the great judgment seat of Christ. And we have to give an account of how we behave, how we treat others. When all things are done unto the Lord, let them examine. We have to be ready for that. We have to give an account of ourselves. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. 1 Corinthians 6:12, 1 Corinthians 10:23. In other words, what it is your right to do those things that you do, may not be for the building up of the church or of that person, may not be for the good of that person. It does not mean that when things are lawful, they are right. It's lawful for you to stand in the middle of the road, and when the light turns red, you think you are alright. Then a car comes by and shoots across. You are right, legally right, but you lose your life. Finally, acceptance to be practiced in the church unto the Lord. I have no time, but quickly let me just go through. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We must accept the diversity in the unity. We must accept that in the church there are all sorts of people and many types of members. That all gifts are of the Spirit's decree in various degrees. That various people have been gifted for certain roles and certain responsibilities. And even in those roles, they have got different degrees of measures of progress of responsibility. Acknowledge them. That all gifts are experienced, exercised, and executed in Him, not in your name. All are done for the Lord and in the Lord. Accept the individuality in the interdependability, that everyone is independent upon one another. No one is singled out as you, and you alone can make it and others cannot. Beware of what you say. The foot cannot say to the eye, I am no good because I'm always stepped upon. I do not want anymore to be in this place. You have no right to say that. Because you think the eye and the whole body without the foot can stand up. They cannot stand up. So, they depend on you. You may be stepped upon, but you are stepped upon for good. But don't let others step upon you. Be aware of what you say. Beware, because each has its own place. You have your own place. The eye has its own place. The ear has its own place. Because all have the same purpose. And all are to see that the body works. It's all. All are to see that body works. Because everyone is an essential part of the whole. The eye cannot say to the ear is not important. Neither can the ear say to the eye. All are important. All are parts of the body. And no one is indispensable. And no one is dispensable. So everyone must work together, so that all the parts of the body work together for the good of the body. Beware of what you think. The unhealthy is not unnecessary. Look at that person. He is not beautiful. He is not handsome. But remember that God gives to the feeble more strength, in order what he lacks is made up for what he has. Many blind people are actually tremendous. Fanny Crosby was blind from birth, and yet look at the hymns she wrote, fantastic number, and look at the thoughts she put into those hymns, in the lyrics. They're wonderful, and we use them. We who are sighted, we use these hymns, and she was blind. So no one is to be put out because of a handicap. That the uncomely is not without beauty. That the unsightly is not without ability. All these are supported by the verses given you. Beware of how you act, not only of what you say or what you think, of how you act. 1 Corinthians 12:25-27. Because of one, he affects another. Because you affect, because you act in this way, other people are affected. So take care. How you act will affect another person sitting beside you. And not only the one sitting beside you, but all the others who are seated in the same group. They will be affected. How you act. Because of one, it affects all. Because all should be one, just as one should be for all. So these are the principles laid down in 1 Corinthians 12 for us to look and to study, that we may know how to relate to one another. Look at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians 12 again. It can do you a lot of good in our relationship to them that are within. Finally, wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Two things stand out here. Receive one another. Receive it as Christ, as unto Christ, for the glory of God. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. May this little reminder to each one of us help us to relate to one another in preparation for the important responsibility to relate to them that are without next week. The church accepts me. I accept the church as unto Christ, the Lord, doing all unto him. Now, actually, I've got another study or another sermon right there, but it's double the length of what I gave you just now. I will not do it. But if you're interested, you can go through it. I've got the outline, and I put the outline specially on my website for you so that you can look at it. So if you're interested, you look at it. It's a good study. It shows our study, our relationship, vertically with God, horizontally with others. And that's how we should relate to one another. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the principles and the standards that thou hast set in thy word for us to pay attention to. Help us, O Lord, to look into what thou hast to teach us. And above everything else, Lord, we thank thee for thy mercy. And as a response to thy mercy, Lord, we may present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto thee, which is our reasonable worship. Help us, Lord, to be transformed and within our mind and to be renewed in every way so that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Help us, Lord, so to be what thou want us to be. Thou art holy, help us to be holy. Thou art merciful, help us to be merciful. Thou art gracious, help us to be gracious. So lead us forth, O Lord, as we commit ourselves to thee this day in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.